Hello, it's Wednesday, and that means it's time for another HTXT AfriCast. Joining me in the studio today is podcast regular Brendan Lotz.
Hello.
And podcast irregular, phantom guest at times, Lungelo Shezi.
I'm like the one... Okay, let me not even go there. No, not here.
Where were you going to go with that?
No.
Podcast irregular. No. I don't understand what that means.
I'm here, I'm back, it's been a month or so. But I mean, there were two times where I wasn't even here at all, as in I wasn't present, so it's not like...
Yeah, well, we did do two podcasts from my house, so...
I had to go
because my ride was going.
Yeah. Clinton doesn't care about sharing
exactly.
You with the world.
So I had to run away.
Clinton, your own personal Uber.
Yeah, not bad.
Kidding, no, he's not really. Don't ask him for Uber rides.
So we got two things to talk about today. So what should we start with, malware or women's month?
Let's start with the malware, right. And then we'll have a nice long chat about Women's Month.
Yeah.
So last week, some scientists at the University of Washington in Seattle figured out that you could use DNA to store malware.
Why would you do this?
So there's a number of reasons why. We'll get to those, but let's take a look at how they did it first.
Okay.
So storing data on DNA is not all that new. I mean, a couple of months ago, another group of scientists managed to store, I think it was about a terabyte of information on a strand of DNA. So the reason you can do this is that the standard nucleotides of a DNA strand can be represented by letters, which can then be read by a computer program.
Right.
So you can interpret these nucleotides, the basic building blocks of your DNA, as A, D, E, F, whatever you want it to be. And then from there, you can change that into binary, which then a computer can read and understand.
Right.
So scientists figured out that you could use this... To store malware. And the reason why they wanted to do this is because why not?
Well, it's like Patton Oswalt said, we're science, all about coulda, not shoulda.
So one of the reasons they did it, though, is mainly because of information security. So when you think about information security, you're thinking about like securing stuff at a hospital or a bank or something like that. But... as we've seen more and more happening is that people are finding novel ways to get inside a computer, whether it be through printers or through flash drives that employees then pick up and stick into their work computer, thinking it's the latest hip-hop artist album or whatever. I don't know what kids do with flash drives these days. and this could be another attack vector. And by that I mean you could essentially... While processing DNA, you might be able to infiltrate a lab's network.
And
from there, once somebody's inside, they have full control over you. So they wanted to see if it was possible to do this, and they found that it was possible. But now, one of the other things they said is that you shouldn't be concerned about this in any way whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Because for one thing,
are we ever going to have a like Days of Our Lives situation where you take yourself for a DNA a paternity test and they hack into your DNA with malware and it turns out that like I don't know David Hasselhoff is your dad?
I don't think that could happen.
That's how crazy things can be these days.
There might be a movie about that starring Bruce Willis, but
So for humans, I don't know what the effects of changing somebody's DNA are. Mm-hmm. I'm not a biologist, so I can't really speak to that. But in terms of an information security perspective, this is not really much of a threat. Mm-hmm. Because the amount of gear that you need to encode stuff on a DNA strand is, I'm pretty sure, it's not easy to come by. And number two is that the scientists that executed this challenge made sure that if malware were to get on this computer, it could happen as easily as possible. So there were no updates. There were no security measures installed. It was basically the worst case scenario for them to do this.
So there are measures that could stop this happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's literally just a piece of malware that's stored within a piece of DNA. So it's like... a flash drive. Consider the DNA like a flash drive, essentially. Mm-hmm. And from there, it executes a string of code, and then your life is ruined. Mm-hmm. But this is it's basically just an idea going, hey, listen, we need to look at this sort of information security.
Because you never know what could be possible.
Exactly. And I mean, there's a lot of research that's going into DNA storage. I mean, yeah. Microsoft is going at it full steam ahead. There are a number of independent researchers that are doing similar work. So DNA as a storage medium could become a reality in our near future. I'm not sure in our lifetime, but I mean, people have gotten it right already. Mm. So who knows? We could have literal thumb drives in the future. But yeah, this it was just a really interesting piece of research that was done. And I found it kind of scary that maybe one day we would all be walking around with malware at our, literally at our fingertips. So for a human, I don't know what the implications would be for changing DNA, but for computers, yeah, this could become a bit of a problem.
Right. On that happy note. No, seriously though, I mean, it just seems to me every single time that technology moves closer to like the situation that you'd expect in a science fiction novel, you know, like fingerprint drives and, you know, cybernetics, yeah. It just sounds to me like, maybe, and maybe this is because I've been a tech journalist for so long, I just see too many negatives rather than too many positives.
So for me, I kind of look
for
at this and
go, the tinfoil hat brigade has been like, they're going to put a chip under your thumb and they won't need to.
Because they can just encode your DNA.
Just encode you.
Yeah, so I mean, it's really interesting because you've got to, I had a conversation with somebody about this just last week actually. And we were talking about how AI, everybody's so scared of AI. Mm. And like there are reasons to be scared of it and there's reasons not to be scared of it. Mm. You know, I mean, like being able to store all your memories on your person, I mean, that sounds like a really cool idea. But
and then you watch the episode Black Mirror of the, you know, the complete and utter history of us, and then you realize it might not be as cool as you think it is.
Absolutely. I mean, like the thing is, I think science has a very big role to play in this huge tech revolution. But as what's his name, Jeff Goldblum said, like they got so busy figuring out if they could, they didn't ask whether they should.
Yeah.
I think science has to ask these questions. That? Like, I'm pretty sure he did.
What, Jeff Goldblum or one of the characters?
Jeff Goldblum in the movie.
Which movie?
Jurassic Park.
Oh, right, gotcha.
I said that all, did I not?
I didn't catch the Jurassic Park.
Oh, okay, all right. And yeah, I think that science has a bit of a role to play in determining whether we should be doing these things. You know, like, do we really need DNA storage? I think the answer is yes, because we don't. That would mean smaller data centers. Maybe. And
then you've got people like Elon Musk, who, like, let's face it, is at the forefront of his industry.
He's like, oh, we need to regulate AI.
And he's like saying, this AI, this thing you guys are so hopped up to create, this is more dangerous than North Korea, okay? That's literally a quote from him.
So, yeah, I think it's we like science and information security have a role to play, and they need to be very careful about how they approach it. Yeah. But, I mean, that's cool. I mean, we got DNA.
But in the meantime, there's just a bunch of Hollywood films telling us how much we could F up the planet if science is unregulated.
If Skynet goes live. Well,
that's the thing. Have you not seen Terminator? Have you not seen The Matrix?
Yeah, I have. But, I mean, we already have all those machines.
Yeah.
So
anyway, I'm starting to sound like Alex Jones.
But they all have happy endings, so there's hope.
Really?
The Obama administration put chemicals in our frogs.
They're turning the frogs gay.
That's it.
That's it. You've seen this guy, Alex Jones?
No, and I don't.
Oh, you are live a
blessed
life.
I have enough to deal with the likes of our own, you know, crazies down here. So
I'm sorry, but like Africa is completely sane at the moment. The States. Yeah.
And if we're going to mention the States, we would like to say that our hearts go out to people who were injured and people
in Charlottesville.
In Charlottesville. Because there's nothing funny about that.
No.
And it's not a very light subject. I have spent the last week staying off social media because I know that I'll just come across someone or something on a YouTube channel and I'll just want to punch a hole straight through my laptop.
I mean, did you watch that Vice documentary?
I'm the one who put it on Facebook.
Oh.
I didn't upload the thing to Facebook, but it was like, I think out of my friends, I was the first one to share it. But yeah, I watched it, and like,
I think we'll link to it at the bottom. Yeah. It's really graphic, and but it's it, I think it's something that you need to watch to understand what type of people there are in this world.
On a scale of Game of Thrones to normal, how graphic is it?
Okay, that's not really a scale, because Game of Thrones is a bunch of makeup, but.
You see like a bit of blood here and there, but I think it's more the ideologies that are put across that are really shocking.
It's not
shocking.
No.
It's not gory at all. I mean, it's not like you're watching people being summarily executed like you have seen in some documentaries in Sierra Leone and places like that. The disturbing aspect of it is, well, one of the many disturbing aspects of it is the Brendan says, the ideologies that are coming out of the mouths of some of the people on there.
It's just, I can't believe that people have their frame of mind in this day and age.
And they're allowed to. That's the problem. They're not.
Well, you can have belief. Well, I don't know. This is my theory. This is what happens when you put a forum troll in the White House. Okay.
We're laughing because it's true.
You tell me, what's the difference between Donald Trump saying a bunch of egregiously horrible, nasty, irresponsible, stupid things, never having to answer for them, okay, and somebody doing it on a forum? The difference is one of them could start World War III, but it's that casual.
He's got the codes.
It's just that casual license with the truth, and that casual license with airing your opinions. You can go on to if you have egregiously horrible or unpopular opinions, you can find a forum to air them. Sure.
Yeah.
But you know, when you're the president of the United States and you're on Twitter, you're stepping outside the house now. You know, and I think that a lot of what he has said and a lot of what he has done has made a lot of these people feel empowered.
Bold, yeah.
And I mean, like,
you've
the
got
thing
a guy
is,
who said he wanted reporters beaten up at his rallies. He said he called Mexicans rapists and drug dealers. He did not turn down an endorsement from the Ku Klux Klan. All right,
I have a question.
For finding cause and effect here.
And I need clarity. And I know we're going a bit off the topic here, but I mean, you know, sometimes it's just some topics that you can't really avoid because it's just so out there.
Yeah.
I saw pictures of these guys in Charlottesville wearing a golf shirt.
Oh.
Was that in any way linked to Donald Trump, or have they always worn it?
I don't know. I saw a couple of memes saying this is the uniform of the new old.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not calling them the alt-right anymore. This is the new uniform of the neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I saw a couple of people in the Vice documentary that we mentioned that are wearing that sort of uniform. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was coincidence that 10 dudes just showed up in white golf shirts and jeans, or chinos, I'm not a fashionista. But it seems, I don't know. I really don't know.
Very scary, actually.
Anyway, let's talk about something a little bit more.
Let's lift the spirits a bit.
Let's tie it back into our beat then.
yes. We've aired our political views.
You know, it's great that you can. Well, great. It's useful now that you can see all this stuff on social media.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you imagine this could happen in the 1960s. You won't find out about it until the documentary comes out.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Anyway.
Stay safe, America. Stay safe.
I have a lot of friends in over that side. So
on a lighter note, or is this going to be a lighter note?
No, it's much lighter.
Thank goodness.
Miguelo
to the rescue.
Because the last podcast we did was literally, we recorded it the day before Women's Day.
8th August.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And it was the vote of no confidence as well that same day.
I won a book because of that.
Really?
Oh, did you? Bonang's book.
Oh, goodness, no.
Has anyone actually read that?
I've seen excerpts and it's bad.
I've been a critic just by screenshots. Thank you very much. I'm now a sub-editor, of books. Thank you. So I was at Duke MMX on Saturday, the whole, sort of conference thing for journalists. And they were giving away the book written by Mandy Wynn and Barry Bateman on the Oscar situation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Behind Closed Doors, the Oscar Pistorius story.
Yeah.
And so Iman Rapetti, who is the Power FM host. She was the MC that day.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, we're giving away a book. And she's like, okay, question. And I had my hand up halfway up anyway. I didn't even know what the question was. So like, can anyone tell me what was the vote? And I was like, yes, yeah, I know the answer. And she's like, okay. So she was asking how many votes, yes, no.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I gave the answer. And it's a thick-ass book. It's like a dictionary. But yeah.
Well, it was rather a big story.
Gee.
I mean, just say.
I don't know. I don't think it was. Oscar. Oh, I think I remember that in the news.
It's literally like a Bible.
Let me tell you how big it was. Like, usually overseas, they don't give a toss about what goes on down here. It was a showstopper on Sky News.
Is it?
It was.
Were you there?
I was in the UK at the time.
At that time. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, when it happened. Yeah. That was in 2013.
I think he 2012 was the Olympics where there was controversy of, oh, the Blade Runner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the next year.
And then, yeah, good.
For some reason, yeah, it's always
a hero.
Let me tell you, like, as far as, like, South African news goes, like,
they don't give a damn.
They don't care. I mean, they care, like, you know, if Bono has a concert.
I don't care if Bono has a concert.
You know, like, they cared for a week when Live 8 was on. You know what I mean?
Or when you two came here with the huge UFO stage.
No, it wasn't that. It was, you remember Live 8?
Yes.
They all went to, I think it was Hyde Park, and they saved the world through music and all that.
At Hyde Park, yeah, because Hyde Park needs saving.
And Bob Geldof was there. And, and like I said, like, for that week, you saw African news in the papers, you know, and then it was back to Chelsea beating whoever. But while I was over there, I think there was only really two stories from South Africa that captured the imagination or captured the attention of the foreign press.
Nkandla was one.
Nkandla kind of comes, flits in and out.
Okay.
Yeah. Occasionally, if they want to write a story about Nelson Mandela and how far we've all fallen, they bring up Zuma and Nkandla. Yep. Oh, no, there's another one, yeah. I mean, obviously, I was here when Nelson Mandela's funeral was on.
Yeah.
So that was rolling commentary over in the UK.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the UK gives themselves credit for inventing Nelson Mandela.
Yep. We helped build him because we held a concert at Wembley Stadium. That was our contribution.
No, but the only other story that captured the attention was it was funnily enough another sportsman. Can you guess who?
Mekhaya Ntini.
Hansi Kroonier.
Oh,
shame.
Yeah, shame.
Like when he kind of that whole
the devil made me do it.
Yeah, that whole thing went down. Like the English were all like, "Wow, that's not cricket." You know, it's like. But it was
the gentleman's sports. We don't do that over here.
No, I think it's. Cricket is a sport played by hooligans.
No, that's rugby.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
It's rugby and football, and it's called football. It's not called soccer, it's called football.
I don't care either way.
Anyway, it goes, rugby is a game for game for hooligans played by gentlemen. Football is a game for gentlemen played by hooligans. That's the
same. Okay.
Soccer. Cricket is a game for people who like to sit in the sun, drink beer,
and drink tea,
and put like little papers over their faces and not really care what's going on.
They were just
sounds like my sort of sport.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah, let's talk about what you've got.
Back to what we do for a living every single day. So, I mean, you did mention Women's Month, which is what we were going into before we sort of just, you know, got off the radar.
Yeah.
A study done by Opera is in Opera, the browser.
Web browser.
Yes. In part one, they did their own, and then World Reader, which basically gives people access to free books on Opera.
That's
they
cool.
did another study themselves, and they combined their results. I don't really have the methodology behind that. But basically, so they combined the results to reveal the different ways women and men in three African countries, including SA, Kenya, and Nigeria.
The
so
big
how
three.
They, yes, it's the big three in terms of, you know, economy, internet, et cetera.
I'm not saying that the rest of Africa isn't important, guys.
But, yeah.
I mean, those are the big three economies is what I mean.
Exactly. So, about how we use the internet differently and how we spend... Well, no, not internet, mobile, actually.
Oh, okay. You know, right. Yeah, because most of the world is... Or Africa
so,
is mobile.
I mean, I wrote the story and everything, but for me, my question was, what are the demographics of the people... They surveyed and interviewed, which is why I was like, I'm not sure what methodology they used. But some of the results, for instance, I'm just going to zoom in on SA right now, is that women spend more on mobile data packages than men. So this is not to say that if I buy 10 megabytes and you buy 10 megabytes, I pay 50 rand and you pay 40. But the thing is, men...
You'd buy 20 megabytes while I'd buy 10. Is that what it means? Okay.
Exactly. So for instance, men spend the most on, well, between 50 and 150 rand,
yeah.
Men spend more on packages, you know, within that price range,
okay.
As well as 150 to 250. So men still spend more within that price range.
Yeah.
But when you get going higher, and this is between 250 and more than 550, women tend to spend more on those types of packages.
Okay.
And it doesn't really explain why. And thinking of it myself as a woman, I don't know.
But you spend most of your time running from WhatsApp groups, don't you?
Exactly. I'm not the average.
So, I mean, okay, just if I think about it, I mean, if I think of...
Now, in light of the Google memo, choose your words.
I'm trying to be as careful as I can. But amongst the women that I know,
yeah.
Okay, so their browsing habits on their phone differ greatly from mine. So, for instance, they use services like Pinterest, which have a lot of images that are coming down.
Mm-hmm.
Things like Snapchat as well are quite big. Not amongst just the ladies, just in my group of friends in general. Like, that's also quite a data-heavy app.
Yeah.
And Instagram as well. I mean, most of my the people I follow on Instagram
are women.
That are active are women.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that the guys don't ever post, but women post a lot more frequently. So it kind of makes sense from my perspective. I'm not saying that this is the case for everybody.
Generally, yeah.
Yeah, but from my frame of reference, like, this actually kind of makes sense.
And I think you are making a realistic point, because for myself, between me and my husband, I spend more time on the phone than he does.
Yeah.
I spend more time on YouTube and stuff than he does. But that's also because he's just not someone who's really into social media. Yeah. I mean, it could be one of anything. But what you're saying is a bit realistic is because the study further found that of 15 types of content, so politics, entertainment, lifestyle, music, travel, tech, automotive, cars, health, property, sports, education, criminal, which I guess is crime, basically, public services, information, economy, and other, which is 15 categories, women consumed 9 out of the 15 more than men. So women tended to consume entertainment, gossip, lifestyle,
travel, a lot more magazine, wider variety.
While men were more into, of course, sports and politics and whatever. So, I mean, so if I'm on my phone, I have basically what this is saying is that I could have 4 different types of pages open within Opera Mini or any other browser of the same more than you do. You could just be looking up, you know, the latest rugby, cricket, or whatever result. I could be on some, oh, that's a nice, you know, story
click,
about this.
Click.
Oh, that's, oh, and I have like 4 or 5 tabs open.
That's actually really interesting.
It sort of makes sense, but like I said,
everybody that ever said women only like handbags and makeup.
Exactly. We don't. But now, men tend to go back and browse the internet more times than women. So men do it when it comes to more than 8 times a day, men said, yes, I go onto the internet more than 8 times a day, more than women did.
Oh, wow.
Women, but there is, it's not like very skewed in terms of way more and less more, like slightly a few percentages more. So, you know, sometimes
it's pretty much equal just within a margin
exactly.
of error.
It's just here and there where the results are really, really, really skewed. But, I mean, it dispels myths about, like, what you said about women not wanting to consume certain types of content or not being online long enough. I think the reason why, if you now narrow it down to really demographics in South Africa, the reason why we don't have maybe 80% of the population online is purely because of socio-economical factors.
Yeah.
So, you know, data being too expensive.
Infrastructure not being
exactly,
there.
Exactly. Rural areas.
Handsets being expensive.
Exactly. So it's not because women don't want to be online or women don't care about being online.
I don't think there's anybody that wants to be offline. Oh, no, I don't say that. There's lots of people that want to be offline.
You haven't met my dad, have you? My dad still has a phone that's tied to the wall.
That's fine.
So he picks up.
My dad has no Facebook, no internet, no social media.
How does he get angry at things?
Can we swap parents? Because
mobile phone.
My mom's everywhere except for Twitter. And I'm
No. Let's talk about this for a second, because my mother also has gone on a social media binge.
I think it's peer pressure. It must be. It's middle age.
Don't you kind of feel as though you're the parent in this position?
Yes,
like,
I do.
Like you're in the position that your mum was when you were going out. Like, remember, be back on time and don't, you know, talk to strangers.
Well, last week my mother sent me a chain message like, "Oh, free WhatsApp."
Oh,
and I was like, "Mom, you know this is fake, right?"
Oh, Lord.
She's like, "Are you sure?" I'm like, "Yeah, I do this for a living." I didn't even tell my mom that, guys, because
it's just not well, I don't want to say it's a waste of time because that sounds mean. But, you know, I'll just be like, especially if this, "Oh, pass it back on to me if you like me too." I'm like, "Okay, pass it back on. Bye-bye." I mean, you kind of let your parents get off. Get away with doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're my friend, if
and
me
you
and you
that,
are WhatsApping, like, listen, I once had a sort of, not a fight per se, but me and my best friend. So my best friend was sending me, I think it was a time around kidnappings or whatever, but the post was basically quite xenophobic against
yeah.
a certain group of people from a certain African country, which I won't mention. And she was like, "Oh, they're going around. Oh, they had a meeting and they plan on killing every South African they meet on the street." I'm like, "No." I'm like, first of all,
I love how you just said no.
No. And then I'm like, "No, I'm not like, no, bestie," because, you know,
yeah.
So we call each other bestie. So I'm like, "No, if it's not on News24, blah, blah, blah," and I named like three credible websites,
yeah.
and it's not in the news, it's fake news.
Like,
because News24 didn't catch it, but because it does not exist.
I see you having an argument with a friend of yours about this, where it's like, "Don't repost this stuff if you don't know it's genuine." And she's just like, "Well, that's your job."
Yeah.
No way.
I wrote an op-ed about this last year. But, like, I think one of the things... Now I lost my train of thought.
Sorry.
Thanks, Nick.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm glad my dad's off Twitter. Because my dad would say something on Twitter, which would just cause a storm. You know, you are introducing people who aren't used to a certain medium. It's like, welcome to the
day.
You're
not allowed to say that.
Hashtag men are trash.
Well, I mean, ICASA proposed regulations last week, new regulations about the data bundle thing. But beyond that, though, not just, your data can't expire at the end of every 30 days unless it's below a certain limit.
Yeah.
But one of the things that everybody seems to have glossed over was the fact that mobile network operators would need to start educating people about how to use data, how to use the internet, and how to use smartphones, which I think would be really, really valuable, like especially to folks that have never seen the internet, that have had very little interaction with the internet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you get on there and...
You start downloading all these things and they chat
exactly,
your data
or you start days. Saying things online that could come back to bite you in 3 years' time, you know?
Yep.
Like, and I remember when I was a kid, and a YouTuber that I watch quite frequently, Philip DeFranco, he says it often. He's like, "I am so glad that I grew up when I did, because every stupid thing I did wasn't recorded."
I know, right? Especially high school. Oh,
I would have been like, there was a fight every other day at my high school.
Not that we were crazy ass rebels.
No, but
you know when Facebook does this on this day, I literally sit there and I'm like, delete. I mean, it's nothing bad. Like, you like mix it language and you're like, "Oh, guys,
they need to sort that algorithm out anyway." I mean, I don't buy it anymore that Facebook can't sift through your history and not like bring up, well, essentially painful memories of that. There's like, "Nick, we care about you. We do. So we're going to show..."
What you said 5 years ago when you were still a dummy.
What do you mean 5 years ago? I'm still a dummy. But like, you'll get this like, "Oh, Nick, we care about you. So here's a picture of you at dinner with your wife the night that you found out that you were getting a divorce," right?
I think you can actually set it to stop reminding you of certain things.
But then sometimes
things.
You want to... Oh, do you use a keyword or something?
Yeah.
Okay, because, I mean, sometimes you do want to be reminded about how much of a dumb you were for falling in love with someone who didn't really love you back.
Well, like my favorite thing is when it pops up with the... Remember when Facebook used to say, like, "Brendan is..." And then you had to fill in the sentence.
And then it wouldn't make sense because
when you read it back, because it's changed now. It's like, I read one the other day and I was like, "Wow, why did you listen to this machine?"
Brendan is... sipping juice, and then it appears as
I'm pretty sure that's what it was. It was like, Brendan is sipping juice and having a good day. I was like, why did we all talk in the third person?
Thank, like you, going back to the statement you mentioned, I literally say, thank God I was, social media was not a thing when I was in high school. Because if I think back to high school, and I don't know if it's the same for guys, but definitely for girls, it's the most stressful time in your life because you're trying to fit into something that you don't, you are really not. So you'd want to have the shorter skirts in school, even if you're going to get a beat down for it from your principal or something.
You got a beat down from your principal?
Not really. No.
You get detention.
Some schools would go that far, but, and then you want to get the attention of a certain boy, and then you want to fit in, you want to have the latest one. This. And then everyone's
on Instagram. So who was your first crush then, Langella?
Oh, no, that was in like preschool. That was preschool decades ago.
Well, I'm glad that it didn't exist because, seriously, between school, university, and the first few years out of living away from home, I probably would be unemployable.
I'm so glad that MySpace deleted my profile and all of that information is gone.
Yeah, I didn't get there. I wasn't. MySpace was before my time.
It was. I joined as MySpace was getting huge, and like I think back to some of the things I used to post on there. Like I had a customized profile with music that would play as soon as you landed on my page, and I look back and I'm just like, thank goodness, thank goodness that was gone. My top eight. Friends with Tom.
Is MySpace still around?
It is, but it's not what it used to be. It's like a music streaming service now.
Oh, okay.
Shame. Makes sense. This was fun, though.
Yeah. This was good.
Yeah.
Very
good
relaxed.
Podcast.
Very
anyway, so thank you very much for gracing us with your presence, Lungela.
You're lucky.
Brendan, I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
And I'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.